such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, welcome everyone. God bless you for tuning into the Winds of Change. Father Tom Coyce here. If you're listening live, it's a brain-wrinkling Wednesday. If you're on podcast or some other way, it's a brain-wrinkling whatever day you're listening to. I got to share a deep and brain-wrinkling issue that sometimes my sermons confuse people, send them head scratching, which in many ways is a good thing if it's going to lead to a greater appreciation of the gospel. Certainly Jesus' words sent people scratching their heads.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
And speaking of boats, St. Peter, who got rid of his fishing boats, I was watching the episode of The Chosen again, and Jesus is fond of saying sayings that people don't understand right away, and again, things that are said on The Chosen are not taken from the Bible. There are many biblical quotes weaved in, but 80% of the dialogue is made up in order to fill in the blanks, as it were. And Peter he said it a few times during the whole series. He goes, "There he is speaking in his riddles again," like the little frustration that Peter had when Jesus would use a saying that we now know to be part of the Bible, and we take it as deep meaning. But of course, it doesn't make sense if you were hearing such things for the first time. And I liked it one time when it was used in that episode we were watching. When Peter says, "Oh, there he goes speaking in riddles again," and then Mary Magdalene, who's there in the crowd, she goes, "Well, that wasn't a riddle. It was just sort of stating something." Okay, so that's in defense of my head-scratching sermons. I referred to the Obergefell Hodgins decision, which was a Supreme Court decision a few years ago that said that two men or two women can legally go to any state in the United States and ask for a marriage license, and a marriage license should be given to them. I brought it up because Justice Clarence Thomas says beautifully at the end of his dissenting opinion that what we did was, Justice Thomas was the minority position. He was arguing against the Supreme Court saying that these, I think there were, as the introduction of that the opinion states, there were 14 gay couples that brought Tennessee and Texas and maybe couple other, there were four or five states, certainly not Illinois, of course, but these gay couples went to their city halls, respectively, and asked for a marriage license. They said, "Well, we don't give marriage license to two men. Our state declares that a marriage is between a man and a woman. And right now I only see two men in front of me. So anyways, you know, the whole story, that's how it got started. So just as Clarence Thomas's dissenting opinion used the idea that a truth about freedom was violated in such a way that it will bring catastrophic consequences to our country. That should be taken seriously. We need to analyze that.
Wow. Right?
So,
yeah. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
I'm going to try to wrinkle your brain a little bit more. In order to get to that and to try to unpack that with, I'm going to start with something much afield from there, but I hope and pray I could bring it back to this important issue of the day. And even where I begin, it's another important issue of the day, but it's just, you don't think they're related, but I see them as related or so. And that would be our understanding of love and the meaning of life as it involves love, right? Can you find meaning in life without love? Well, I guess you could say you're a good construction person, or you are a good baseball player, you're a good anything, some kind of career, and you don't have a romantic human love interest, but you would certainly say your love for those professions give you meaning, etc. So there's the meaning in our work, and there's the meaning, there's the meaning of love that is within our relationships. That, anyways, I can't help. I got to begin with. I heard this on the radio. Let's see here. It goes like this. Remember this one?
I used to say no promises. Let's keep it simple. Say goodbye.
That's Karen Carpenter, of course.
It took a while for me to learn that nothing comes for free. The price I've paid is high.
Their concerts, she and her brother. And anyway, besides the tragic, sad ending of her life, but Testing, testing, 1, 2, 1, 2. You got me back there, Nick? 1, 2, 3. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon, everyone. Father Coyce
Welcome,
here on
Father.
A brain.
Yes, we have you.
Brain Wrinkling Wednesday. Well, somehow we lost that connection. Nick, did you hear the clip I was playing from Karen Carpenter? Maybe we'll play that again. This is how I'm going to lead into a better understanding of the Catholic interpretation of the heir of the Supreme Court in the Obergefell legalization of gay marriage ruling. Are we ready there? Are we ready to roll? Here we go. I heard this song on the radio and I had to go download it for myself because it is a beautiful song, but there's a lot that we could learn from it about our family life, our romantic lives, and our faithful lives, our lives in God. Let's see, this is what I'm...
Keep it simple, but freedom only helps you say goodbye.
Here, we're going to stop there. She says at this part, I used to say, let's keep it simple. Now, I'm just going to be bold here and try to unpack that for you if you've been sleeping under a rock or you're hard to read poetry into practical things. She says, I used to say, let's keep it simple, meaning as a young girl not married, dating guys, she would say, let's keep it simple. In other words, I don't need a ring. We can just sleep together and we don't need promises. That was the kind of free love. Of course, Karen Carpenter was singing in the 70s, so in the 60s and 70s, as that phrase was burning across the world, that he was saying, that's the price of the freedom. But it's a beautiful sentiment. As I was saying before, I think we lost connection there. There's two levels I want to analyze this song in. One on the level of people who are living together and don't want to get married, or don't see the sacredness of the sexual bond that our Catholic faith trumpets, proclaims, is stubborn about, as it were. Catholicism is stubborn about the sacred connection that the physical bond of man and woman has. So she's saying at the beginning of this song that she used to say, let's keep it simple. But then here's where it turns a very wise saying where she learns.
It took a while for me to learn that nothing comes for free.
It took a while to learn that nothing comes for free. And you could sort of say it takes a lot. Most people, it takes a lot, especially if you're in that free love attitude. Nothing comes for free. It's the shaky understanding of freedom. That's going to lead back to the Obergefell understanding of marriage, okay? But let's go on here. This is...
The price I paid is high enough for me.
Got to stop it there again. some beautiful thoughts there. She says, I know I asked for perfection. Obviously, she's been through some broken relationships, and she's said no and walked away from some guys, and some guys maybe have walked away from her, shall we say, you know, before getting into her own realistic private life, just using it as a foil upon which to meditate on love and life, right? Okay. I know I asked for perfection and was fool enough to think that's what I'd find. That brings in the whole element of your idealism in searching for your partner, your life partner, especially, of course, right? And someone who says no to 12 people is looking for perfection. You're fool enough to think that's what you'll find. And that connects back to our Catholic understanding of a marriage is to live like God wants us to live, and even marrying someone who's imperfect and broken and not perfect, you're going to seem like a fool to others or to yourself if you keep loving that person. And so often non-religious people look at religious people, especially if a religious person is staying with someone that causes pain, right? Obviously, we all know so many people that have gone through that. That the idealism is looked upon as foolishness, and that's what. But I want to insert into this the whole idea that. That little phrase, I know I need to be in love,
wow,
really captures...
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
That is brain wrinkle. It really captures the meaning of life as God wants us to see the meaning of life. He wants us to know that at the heart of the meaning of life is our duty to love. And so in the strange interplay between the romantic individual life of Karen Carpenter and her boyfriend, or imagine, I do have to put in there, it's so sad that she died at, many of you probably know this, but maybe some of you don't, Karen Carpenter died of anorexia, the disease that, where she's just stopped eating. She died at 32 years old. She had, you know, maybe 10, 12-year career, beautiful concerts and all the rest, but she was at 30, she married a guy by the name of Thomas James Burris. Thomas James Burris was a broke real estate agent, in debt most likely, and not a successful real estate agent. Somehow, he courted this superstar singer, Karen Carpenter, and they did marry, but the story goes is that she was hopeful to get married because part of her dream of being married and the meaning of life would be not only to have a man to love in her life, but to have children, to be a mother. That was a big part of her vision of her happy life. A few days or weeks or something like that, a little while before the wedding with this Thomas James Burris, he confessed to her that he left his wife in order to pursue her. So that could have been one red flag, but she got over that, obviously. And
danger, then, Robinson.
What she couldn't
danger,
get over,
Robinson. Danger.
There was danger. What she couldn't get over is he admitted to her that he was already sterilized. He got the snip-snip operation. And so he couldn't get married. That devastated her. And she didn't want to get married. But her mother said, we already sent out the invitations. We're all set to go. You got to marry him. Sad, isn't it? Their mother should have been as sympathetic. Should have seen that to write off a few $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, whatever that would have been for the Carpenters were millionaires at the time. It would have been that much of a setback for them. They should have canceled the wedding, but they didn't, and they were divorced within a year. So, anyways, that's the sad part of the real story of Karen Carpenter. They said as she was fighting that anorexia, she would take 80 to 90 pills a day to sort of keep her going, as it were. Oh, can you imagine that? How does that go? Okay, let's see. I think we got to take our first break, right? And then we'll come back. I'm going to try to piece together some things, and I hope to make sense of the Catholic view of Obergefell, especially as written by Clarence Thomas and Robert Scalia, great, great minds of the Supreme Court, and how we need to see their warning and we need to see their arguments so that we might be able to persuade others of the right way to think and what God really wants of us, okay? So, I'm Father Tom Coyes, guest host on The Winds of Change, and you are listening to the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland, WSFI Catholic Radio on 88.5 FM, and WNDZ AM 750.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
I'm Father Tom Coyes, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Koska is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when Masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Koska is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. God bless you for tuning in. I'll add a little addendum to those great announcements and come back to my theme. But you have to know that out at St. James of the Sag Church, out here in Southwest, suburban Chicagoland area, Brian Birch, some of you may know that name, Brian Birch, he's with Catholic Vote. He's a great writer, speaker, author. He's going to be here at St. James on Friday, May 26th at 7 p.m. Come out to St. James. Admission is free. We'll probably take up a collection to help it defray the costs, as it were. Brian Birch of Catholic Vote on Friday, May 26th, 7 p.m. We are at 10600 South Archer Avenue. Here's this beautiful song, Karen Carpenter, and there's these two levels of meaning And they're obviously related, but we can and see. We here, I'm sharing this song as a celibate priest, right? I'm not in the marriage world. I'm not like the young people who are looking for the right partner. It's always such a key and important thing to do while you're young, right? But I'm sharing.
We're on a mission from God.
We would be on a mission. There's a lot of missions from God. My mission right now is to help you appreciate the real meaning of life, which is founded on love, and yet the mistaken understanding of love that is being promoted. There's so many things going on today that the counterfeit is being sold. And like Karen Carpenter, in the early part of this song, she says, well, I used to think, let's just keep it simple and we can just be friends and sleep together and everything will be fine. And then now she's saying, nope, that was a counterfeit love. Now I know I need to be in love. In other words, she's saying, now I know I need to be married because that promise, that bond that is created in a marriage takes a certain freedom away, but it gives you a freedom. Isn't that a strange kind of way of thinking of it? Here, this is how the rest of the song goes, right? Let's see.
None of them will comfort me tonight. I'm wide awake at 4 a.m. without a friend in sight. Hanging on, but I'm all right. I know I need to be in love. I know I've wasted
song, isn't it? It has a kind of sad tone to it, of course, like so many of her songs do. It makes even more sense when you put it against the foil of her own personal life. But obviously people related to those songs because it happens a million times a day all over the place, right? But the two main thoughts that I wanted to share, which got a segue here now, is that really that phrase, I know I need to be in love, is at the heart of our faith. And we don't just go to church as a rule because God made rules and we got to follow his rules. We don't just be nice to people because we don't want to be mean. We need to be in love. Our faith, our worship of God needs to be an act of love. You know, so it's so easy to miss the idea of going to church is an act of love. It's an act of love to God because God asks us to worship him this way. And if you're just going to church because you have to, well, I would never say don't go to church, which unfortunately some priests and even teachers say. I was at a meeting just the other day, and they're talking about how, oh, the people who go to church sometimes are mean. And the CCD director or one of the Catholic school teachers said, it's better that they'd go to the bar. The rejection if going to church doesn't turn you into a loving person, then don't go to church. That's bad advice. Let me say that right off the top. Because if you're a bad person and going to church doesn't help you become a loving person, then going to the bar is not going to help you make you a better loving person than going to church. Even though it's hard and you sometimes miss the point, it's true that we all recognize that going to church is not fulfilling. It's not where it should be if you're not loving. Okay, so let me use another Karen Carpenter song here. Again, I'm still gonna try and build up to the defense of Scalia's and Clarence Thomas's dissent against the Obergefell majority opinion of the Supreme Court. This one's called Close to You, right? I think that's how it goes. It says, it's another sad song there. You're everything to me, I'm everything to you. I can't think of loving anyone except you, and you love me. But why do we go on hurting each other, right? Do you remember this one? Got to stop hurting each other. And of course, this dovetails into the gay marriage thing too, because so often when I've talked to people about it, the defense of a woman marrying another woman is often put in the context of, well, I was married to a man, but he made my life miserable. We fought all the time. He hated me, I hated him. Now that I'm free of him, I'm going to marry a woman, and we're so much happier now. And so people will say, doesn't that prove the rightness of the modern acceptance of gay marriage? And again, there's a kind of a foolish charade. There's an imposter kind of understanding of love. In other words, if the man and woman who were married and had fights and had problems were fighting over finances, as couples often do, were fighting over infidelity, as sometimes happens, were fighting over how to raise children, name it, you name it, it can happen, obviously. But then to leave that guy and marry a girl, so-called girl, or another so-called marriage, two women can just as easily argue over money as a man and a woman could, Two women can argue over raising children. Two women can argue over infidelity, et cetera. Anything that a man and a woman can argue over, two women can argue over. So it's a false sense of the meaning of love when you say, oh, well, I got rid of this one person who's giving me headaches, and now I'm going to marry a person of my same sex. And that proves that same-sex relations are a marriage, coming down to what the meaning of love is, what the meaning of marriage is, right? Okay, I think we'll take another break here, because I want to... There is another precious little Japanese girl. I maybe you saw it, maybe you didn't, but it's getting quite the run on, as we say, going viral, and it's touching my heart. But it touches on this theme, and I want to share it with you. But let's take another break here, okay? I'm Father Tom Coy's guest host on The Winds of Change. You are listening to the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland. We are WSFI 88.5 FM and WNDZ 750 AM.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. Visit ststanschicago.org to find out how.
And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
Pope John Paul II once said, humanity, its dignity and its balance, at every moment and on every place on earth, will depend upon who he is for her and who she is for him. I am Father Thomas Loya with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. Why are we a man? Why are we a woman? Unless we know the why, we do not know the how to be man or a woman, and therefore we do not know how to really be for each other. The why behind being a man or woman is told in the theology of our gendered bodies. Our bodies speak a language. Gender reveals God. Through gender, we can actually participate in the way that God loves us. We can love as God loves. Human sexuality is an icon of the very interior life of the Holy Trinity. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
Hey, well, that last little ad from Father Thomas Loya is a great segue as I'm meditating on the meaning of life and how love fits into that meaning of life, right? Hey, by the way, another little plug here for Father Thomas Loya and I are good friends. We used to bump into each other at the studios of Winds of Change, if you remember those days. Anyways, Father Loya is quite an artist. He's painted so many of the beautiful icons in his Byzantine church. And maybe some of you may or may not know, but I'm a bit of an artist myself. And so over the summer, Father Loya and I are going to have a joint art fair. It'll be in August, so it's a long time coming, but it'll be dueling Father Toms. Father Thomas Loya and Father Thomas Coys will share some of our art, and it'll be part of the... like an outdoor fair over at Father Loya's place. Anyways, more on that. Okay, one more song, Karen Carpenter, before I get to the Japanese girl, before I try to at least open up one way of thinking about the Obergefell. I'm not going to do it justice in this time where I have to go back to it. But there's another beautiful song that Karen Carpenter sings, and it's another one of those sad kind of twists to romantic relationships and the meaning that the message that we should learn through them. And there's a lesson that I don't know that is obvious from this song. Okay, it goes like this, this one.
Nice to know somebody loves me. Funny, but it seems that it's the only thing to do. Run and find the one who loves me.
Okay, it's going to repeat, but funny, it's the only thing to do is to run and find the one who loves me. You know, when you're searching for love and you want to fill your life with the proper meaning, you want to be in love, right? That's part of life. And so she says, she comes to this conclusion, okay, well, the only thing I can do is to run around trying to find the one who will love me, right? Because
what I feel is come and gone before. No need to talk it out. We know what it's all about. Hanging around, nothing to do but cry. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
Okay, rainy days and Mondays always get me down. That's the name of the song. But the line that we need to chew on here is when you are depressed because there isn't the love in your life that you want there to be, don't come to the conclusion that she's coming to in this song, that the only thing to do is run around and find the one who will love me. And the reason that's not the thing to do is because what you're supposed to do is start loving others. Don't wallow in the idea that no one loves me, therefore my life is meaningless. Start to try to love others. And if you love others, then meaning will come zipping into your life, and you will find the meaning of life, as it were. And that, and obviously just by saying that, that doesn't mean sexual love is the only kind of love. To say go out and love others is not to say go out and give your body to others. It's to say do the best you can for others. And that's what our Catholic faith does teach us to do. The prohibitions against free sex is an invitation to find the higher view of love. I'm going to give myself. That little ad for Father Loy's Theology of the Body is it's just reminiscent of that beautiful phrase of John Paul II, who's says, the total gift of self. I'm going to give you my, when you give your body to your loved one, you're going to give the total gift of yourself. That's what we call marriage. that leads to, again, the charade version of love that homosexual marriage promotes, because you're not giving the fullness of yourself. Two men can't give the fullness of yourself, because part of the self that you're giving is your ability to give your body, your sperm to create a child. And you're not giving your male partner the half of the equation that is needed for giving a child, you know. That's why one of the simple comebacks that I think we should share with others as the gay marriage issue comes up, whether it's in the workplace, in the home, or whatever, whoever would care to listen. I sometimes say, oh, I would give equal rights to anybody if they were doing the same thing. Are you for gay marriage? No, I'm not for gay marriage because they can't call it equal rights when they're doing two different things. And that forces a person to think, well, what are you referring to, doing this different things? A man and a woman making love are doing something different with their bodies than two men or two women. And it's not fair to treat equal different people who are doing different things the same way. Put it in the context of paying, if you're an owner of a company and you have to pay your employers, it's not fair if one employee is doing something and another employee is doing something different. One employee is doing something very much more valuable than the other. Let's say you, let's say you make diamonds and you process and cut diamonds in your laboratory. One of your employees is the artist, the artisan who is masterfully trained and able to cut diamonds. And, you know, if you do them wrong, obviously you can ruin a rock or make it most valuable. So you pay that employee $100 an hour. And then you have an employee that sweeps the floor at night. And you pay that employee $15 an hour. They're not doing the same thing, so it's not fair to treat them the same and say, well, I only pay the janitor $15 an hour, so I'm going to cut my diamond cutter salary to $15 an hour. They're not doing the same thing, so it's not equal rights. You can't claim equal rights if you're not doing the same thing. And so the fact that a man and a woman are not doing the same thing as two men is a major difference. Okay, what do you mean? Oh, they're both doing sexual things. Yes, they're doing sexual things, but they're not doing the same thing. And so here's where it gets a little crazy. Okay, I promised you, there's this cute little Japanese girl who's giving a little lesson to her mother, and bless her mother's heart that she's recording it for the world to see. The little girl's mom and dad were obviously arguing. And so the little Japanese girl, 4 or 5 years old, is giving her mother a lecture. And it's so precious. It's very beautiful. And on one level, she's absolutely right. On another level, she's missing something. And that what she's missing is what we who are mature adults need to fill in. I wonder if you could sense what is missing here. Let's see how it goes like this.
Me, Mom, are you ready to be his friend?
Yes.
Try not to be that high up to be friends. I want everything to be low, okay?
Okay.
Just try your best. I don't want you and my dad to be replaced in me's again. I want you and my dad.
She's expressing the little thought of many a girl who they see their parents fight. I don't want you and dad, I don't want to be replaced again. In other words, maybe she, I don't know if she's an adopted one or she's been to other, maybe she's been passed from one family to another, but she knows the pain of having to replace her parents. And so she's saying, I don't want that. It's very, very precious.
To be placed as settled and be friends. I'm not trying to be mean. I just want everyone to be friends. And if I can be nice, I think all of us can be nice too. I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm trying to do my best in my heart. Nothing else than that. I want you, Mom, my dad, everyone to be friends. I want everyone to be smiling, not like being mad.
I want everyone to be smiling. So precious, right, from a little one. I don't like being mad. Well, of course we don't like being mad. And she's hoping for kind of paradise living where there are no arguments. And certainly we said should be striven for, that we should strive for that. Okay, here she goes on again a little bit more.
I want everything to smile. Especially when I see someone, I want them to smile. Especially Nana, everyone. I want everyone to smile.
She wants everyone to smile, especially Nana. That must be her grandmother. There must be some reason why grandmother doesn't smile or something. Obviously, you could fill in the blanks one way or another.
And if that's for my dad and you, Mom, I think you can do it. I think you can settle your mean heights down a little to short heights. Then it's both, okay? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be a bully. I'm trying to be steady on the floor, not way down.
She's trying to be steady on the floor, not way down. I'm not exactly sure what she's driving at there, but it does sound cute, doesn't it? Actually, this reference to I want it to be way down. She says at the beginning of that, are you ready to be friends? That's probably the key issue. Are you ready to be friends, Mom and Dad? Shouldn't you be friends? Aren't you going to model friendship for me?
Wow. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
That is a brain wrinkler. The most mature, the most highfalutin theology we could find in there is when she says, I want to bring it down. Now, what does that mean to a four-year-old? I don't know, but what I, as a theologian, theological mind, thinking person, that means a hierarchy. There has to be a hierarchy of what gets us mad and what doesn't get us mad. In other words, if you are getting super mad about petty things, I want you to bring it down. But if in the hierarchy of things, it's a major infraction, then that madness can be a sign of holiness. You're upset against something that God has declared wrong, evil. So that's where, I'll get to a little bit more here. Let's see. She goes,
on straight, on the middle where my heart is. My heart is something. Everyone else's heart is something too. And if we live in a world where everyone's being mean, everyone's gonna be a monster and they're
If we lived in a world where everyone was being mean, everyone would be a monster. Everyone would be a monster. Again, she's offering a kind of wisdom that has a certain beauty to it, but a certain naivete that I'm afraid that even the best of theologians these days are missing, or they're only... You're only getting sermons at this level of just be nice to everyone without a real discussion of what is right and wrong, as it were. It's a cute version of a four-year-old Japanese girl saying kind of what the guy who got beat up in Los Angeles so long ago, can't we just all get along? And that's a good question. Can't we all just, we should try to get along. But just declaring we need to be friends and be nice without deeper discussions of what is true, what is moral and what is immoral, what is evil, what constitutes an evil act, what constitutes a virtue versus a vice, these kinds of discussions have to be included. As cute as the little girl is, and as true as her advice to her mother is, can't you just be friends? We don't know what the mom and dad were arguing about before this clip, but let us say that the mom was arguing with her husband about being unfaithful. Or let us say that they were arguing about the fact that someone smashed up a car, and or someone, let's say, brought home drawing a blank here. You know, millions of problems can happen, but let's say it's a legitimate problem, and what we need to do is, we need to, we're almost at the end of our time here now. What I need to do is a strong analysis of the dissenting opinion of the Catholic voices in that Obergefell Supreme Court decision, and show how even though just being nice to everyone and the desire to have a world where everyone's nice and we don't turn into monsters, that's what she says too. If we live in a world that if everyone's a monster, then some people will eat the little ones, and then nobody will be around. Funny, interesting enough, right? So the key to that connection is the will, and the will directed to a truth. Okay, I'll promise I'm going to start next week with the. I'll start with that instead of end with it. We'll get a little further along. God bless you for listening to The Winds of Change. I'm Father Tom Coyes. This is the new EWTN Catholic Radio Voice for Chicagoland. We are WSFI 88.5 FM and WNZZ 750 AM.
Makes no sense. Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred, the time is now.